This Roto Report is brought to you by Joe Laser with Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Whether you need auto, home, health, life, or commercial insurance, or if you're looking for advice as you plan for your retirement, call Laser Insurance and Financial Services at 330-722-4444. Today, we're joined on the Roto Report by our good buddy Joe Kotosh from ProBasketballDraft.com to talk about the upcoming NBA draft, which will take place June 26th. The Cavaliers with the first overall pick in that draft. And the big question, Joe, is who they're going to go with at number one. I think we're all in agreement that it's one of three players. So let's start, if you will, with Joel Embiid and your thoughts on the center from Kansas and whether or not he's the consensus number one pick or it comes down to strictly the medical situation with him.
Well, Kenny, you know, in talking around the league, going back to the Chicago pre-draft combine, going to the NBA lottery, and since then, the overwhelming trend I've heard amongst NBA circles has been, if healthy, Joel Embiid is a clear-cut first overall pick. And that's predicated on the fact that he's a legit seven-footer. He's only played basketball for about 3 or 4 years. He's still developing his game, but he's already so far along and showing the signs and polish that's so rare for a guy his size that he has really sort of taken a hold of that spot. Now, of course, the caveat is the medicals. Now, I've been told by sources through his agent as well as from Kansas that, you know, he is fine medically. The back issue is not going to cause him long-term issues. It's not going to shorten his career. It was more of an issue at the time, and they decided to rest him, and that's why he wasn't there in March Madness. Now, that being said, you know, he is out there working out again. He will be going to Cleveland to showcase in an individual workout as well in the next week, I believe. And so, you know, I really think Embiid is going to be the first pick. I don't think it's really a question anymore of who else is there. As long as nothing comes up in the medical exam, I think you've got the first pick settled right now.
The Cavaliers will obviously do their due diligence with all of their doctors in checking out his back. It was a stress fracture. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to try and play one here. But the word that I keep hearing is it a chronic issue? And that's what will determine whether the Cavaliers decide to select him or go in a different direction. From the people that you talk to, Joe, it's not a chronic situation. It was just a one-time thing, and therefore he's been cleared. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, and you know, the best example I think we can draw from is Greg Oden. When he was the first overall pick, there were a lot of injury concerns at the time, and one of the reasons he was seen as more of an injury risk than Embiid is, you know, physically, he had legs that were two different lengths, and he has one leg that's shorter than the other. It's not a big difference, but it's a small difference. And the thought process was, you know, that would cause greater stress and wear and tear on his body. And, you know, ultimately, Greg Oden has been hampered throughout his career by injuries. I don't hear the same sort of things with Embiid. Again, he is a player who physically really looks amazing as an athlete when you watch him and you see the things he can do. And so I again think that it's incumbent on Cleveland to do their due diligence, but presuming everything I'm hearing is true, I think it's clear cut. He's worthy of the first overall pick.
I just did my scouting report on Joel Embiid. It's up on KennyRota.com so people can read it. I'm curious to get your input on his strengths and his weaknesses, what you like about his game and what you think he needs to work on if indeed he's 100% healthy and is taken number one overall.
Well, you know, I think with a player like Embiid, what you're looking at, it's similar to Anthony Davis a couple of years ago, which is you're looking at a player whose biggest concern really as a player is going to be experience. You know, Anthony Davis was unique because he'd been a point guard most of his life or a guard most of his life and then sprouted up to his height. You know, with Embiid, he hasn't played all that long. And so he's still learning the game. He's still learning the nuances, you know, and he's getting polished. So as he continues to develop and put in the time on and off the court, that's where I think you're looking at him as areas to improve on. You know, as it relates to strengths with Embiid, I think you're looking at a player who's going to come in right away in the NBA and contribute as a shot blocker. He's a solid rebounder. He's very aggressive on the boards. And, you know, offensively, he's going to give the Cavaliers a very unique look, because right now Cleveland's big men primarily do not have the ability to face up. You notice as they acquired Spencer Hawes at the trade deadline, that was when they finally started to get a different kind of look. They could space the court more for Kyrie Irving and Deion Waiters. And I think you can get that same sort of ability with Joel Embiid, as he has the ability to space up and hit mid-range jumpers. And as he develops, he might even get NBA three-point range. I think a great comparison for him right away is a Serge Ibaka, a very similar body type, spring to a step, going to impact the game on the defensive end initially. And then as he comes along offensively, I could see that same sort of contribution. Down the road, you know, people are drawing comparisons to Tim Duncan and Hakeem Olajuwon. You know, that requires more development and time off the court from him. So, you know, I don't want to go there just yet.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, because those are the three names that I put in my scouting report as well with the NBA comparisons. And what I did in my comparison is I went back and grabbed Olajuwon's freshman numbers, Embiid's freshman numbers, and Duncan's freshman numbers. And Embiid, really, his numbers are similar and in some cases better than those other two players in their freshman year at college. So that's what we're hearing as far as who he compares to maybe down the road. And if he comes close to any one of those three, well, I would say two out of the three, especially with Hakeem and Duncan, I think the Cavaliers would be thrilled if they got anything close to either one of those guys out of Embiid, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, look, Kenny, the bottom line is, while the NBA is perceived to be more of a open offense now, you know, you want guys to stretch the court, you know, it's more perimeter-oriented and dominated. The fact is, look at teams over the years that have built sustainable dynasties. And a lot of times they have big men that can
Yep.
not only protect the rim, but can also contribute offensively. And so, you know, to me, you know, with an all-star point guard already in Kyrie Irving, with Deion Waiters and his, you know, ability to score, I mean, the Cavs have pieces and talent. What they lack, in my opinion, and they've lacked the last couple of years, is a competent big man who can play alongside of Kyrie Irving. And look, the reason San Antonio has been what it's been over the last, you know, almost 20 years now, has been because they've had all-star centers in David Robinson and Tim Duncan, and they've had all-star point guards as well, and Tony Parker. And so to me, I think Cleveland clearly is trying to turn around their fortunes. This is a big offseason to do it. And if you can get Joel Embiid to be a competent player as a rookie, you know, he's only going to be aided by playing with Kyrie Irving. And I think that's going to help him. And I think he's going to help Kyrie Irving, because what's the biggest complaint in Cleveland about Kyrie Irving right now? It's his defense. And he's going to protect the rim like no other Cavalier can right now. You know, Varejao's not a shot blocker. Hawes isn't a shot blocker. Tristan Thompson's not a shot blocker. So you're going to have somebody who can protect the rim now, so it will cover up some of the defensive shortcomings of Kyrie Irving as well.
That's a great point, very similar to Mark Price, who didn't play a lot of defense back in the day, and Larry Nance was there to block shots at the rim along with Brad Doherty. So it's a great point. And to your point about the bigs, I went back and I looked, Joe, and in the last 15 years, 11 of the last 15 NBA champions have had a 7-foot dominant player on their squad, whether it was Shaq, Tim Duncan, David Robinson, Paul Gasol, Dirk Nowitzki. It does matter. Size does matter in the NBA. We're talking with Joe Kotosh from ProBasketballDraft.com. Joe, all right, let's say the back does not check out. There are red flags that the Cavaliers find. My guy that I really love, and he's my favorite player in the draft, is Andrew Wiggins. I would go with him if Embiid has some medical issues. Give me your thoughts on Andrew Wiggins, the shooting guard, small forward out of Kansas, who played with Embiid there for 28 games.
Sure. You know, Kenny, really hard not to like Andrew Wiggins as a prospect. Anybody who follows these kids in high school and AAU has known about Andrew Wiggins for the last 5 years or so. And when you look at Wiggins, the thing that stands out is, yeah, he's a tremendous athlete. You know, he's long, he's explosive, he can finish at the rim. You know, like most prospects, especially perimeter prospects, the thing he's lacking right now offensively is a consistent jumper. He needs to work on it and improve on it. But as Cleveland Cavalier fans know, you know, LeBron James didn't come into the NBA as a ready-made jump shooter. He had to work on it, and it took him quite a while to, I think, develop a consistent jumper. You know, and so when you look at Wiggins, what you're going to get right away is somebody who can be awesome and dominant in the open court and transition. He's going to be a great lockdown defender with the ability to arguably defend three positions right away as well. And then it's really going to be a question of his work ethic and how good he wants to be. If he's willing to put in the work, there's no reason he can't improve as a shooter down the road. But again, that's where, you know, now you have to start looking at the prospect and listening to what the organization is saying. As you know, Cavs GM David Griffin has made a big point to emphasize this offseason. It's all about getting better fits on their roster. They felt they had talent last year, but they did not have a good fit on their roster. And so, you know, is Andrew Wiggins a good fit with Kyrie Irving? That's where I scratch my head a little bit because, you know, again, the thing that we've noticed is Kyrie Irving really needs spacing on the court. And what does that mean? They need shooters in Cleveland. And Cleveland really, until they started getting Spencer Hawes and getting that kind of stretch of the court, really was lacking there. And so that's why I think, you know, he, as good as he is, he may not be the best fit. And for an organization that seems fully committed to making the playoffs next year, you know, that might be a slight issue. But nonetheless, I think there's no denying Andrew Wiggins' talent as a prospect.
The DNA is there. His dad played in the NBA and his mom won Olympic medals in track. So that's why we always talk about him being a great athlete. The DNA, you put that together, you see why. 44-inch vertical jump, 6 foot 8 inches tall, 7 foot wingspan. You mentioned can defend three positions. He reminds me, Joe, of a taller Sidney Moncrief, who was an all-defensive stud for the Milwaukee Bucks and played both ends of the floor. And that's why I like Wiggins over Jabari Parker, because he plays right now both ends of the floor, whereas Jabari Parker is strictly an offensive Carmelo Anthony type guy.
Again, excellent point, Kenny. You know, you're right. I mean, he fits better on the defensive end with Kyrie Irving because he can pick up the slack defensively, whereas Parker, you know, there are questions about Parker's position and, you know, his not as athletic as Wiggins. Now, that being said, again, the general manager of Cleveland also has made it known they want to be built around a better offensive product. And so that's where I think there's a little bit of juggling, and you know, you're going to have to kind of read the tea leaves to see, you know, with workouts and the feedback that they're getting from there, where this team's sort of leaning in that direction. But, you know, with Wiggins, he is the number two overall prospect on our board at probasketballdraft.com. And I would say that, you know, I think it's a fair bet that if he doesn't go two to Milwaukee, he goes three to Philadelphia. Philadelphia will be extremely ecstatic if that happens.
All right, let's talk about Jabari Parker, small forward, power forward, offensive threat, probably the most ready player, plug-and-play player of these three that we're talking about to step in and contribute right away, at least offensively. Give me your breakdown of the kid from Duke.
Well, again, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, offensively, he's ready to play from day one. And not just play, I think be a very competent offensive player. I've had a couple executives around the league tell me in Chicago, they thought that Jabari Parker is the odds-on favorite to be Rookie of the Year next year, which says an awful lot about his ability. You know, I've heard a few people make the claim that they think he could be a 20-point-a-night scorer as a rookie. You know, that's obviously very rarefied air for rookies. Offensively, he can do it all. He can face up. He can create his own shot. He can play off the ball, which is important in Cleveland with Kyrie Irving and Deion Waiters. But that being said, you know, the question marks for him are on the defensive end. You know, he is 6'8". He's about 230, 240, somewhere in that range. And there's a thought that some people feel he is a combo forward, a stretch four, more than a true three. And can he keep up with the Paul Georges, the LeBron Jameses of the world, the Kevin Durants of the world? And I think that's a fair question. But that being said, when you look at Jabari Parker, I see a player who's a little bit like a Carmelo Anthony, a Grant Hill, a Paul Pierce. He's got that unique ability to create offense. And while he may not be the most explosive athlete, he's smooth, he's crafty. Again, the son of a player, so he really knows how to get his own shots. And I think, you know, he would be a great fit along Kyrie Irving in Cleveland if he goes there. But, you know, one thing to watch with him, I continue to hear that the Utah Jazz are enamored with him and would be very open to trying to move up to get him because, as many people know, Parker is a Mormon. In a city like Salt Lake City, he could be the face of a franchise, and that could be really a transformational opportunity for a team like the Jazz.
All right. Is there anybody we should throw into this conversation, Joe Kotosh, that could be considered by the Cavaliers for the number one overall pick that we haven't talked about, or is it just these three guys?
I really think it's just those three guys, Kenny. I hear Dante Exum's name thrown out as a dark horse, to be in the top tier. But when you look at the Cavaliers roster, you look at where their foundation is right now. It's, you know, Kyrie Irving, it's Deion Waiters. I really don't see how adding a third guard to that mix helps. You know, Dante Exum is only 18. He's super athletic. He's not going to be as ready to play as a lot of these other guys. He has not played collegiate basketball. He spent the year in Australia. He's played, you know, out there, but he's not played at a high level of competition. The best competition he's arguably played at was with the Nike Hoop Summit last year when he played against Wigan and company, and he played very well, but I just don't think he's ready to contribute as a rookie, and I really have a hard time seeing Cleveland take a chance on a guy that raw who's also playing at a position of strength right now, which is the backcourt. While I don't believe he is a long-term point guard, I think he's actually a more of a two-guard with his size and length and athleticism. I think he's just such a unique player that, you know, he's a guy who warrants consideration there, but I just don't think he's on the Cavaliers' radar.
So we're looking at Embiid. On my board, I have it Embiid, Wiggins, Parker as the top three players in this draft. What's the board at probasketballdraft.com look like?
The board's the exact same in terms of the draft board. Our mock draft, we actually have Jabari Parker going second to the Bucks. As you know, Wes Edens, the new owner, is there. John Hammond is still in the organization as a GM. There's thought that there might be some need to show improvement on the court next year. And so taking a player like a Parker might pay dividends in the short term by getting this team more competitive and ready to play next year. So, you know, we have currently Parker there, plus the thought process of, you know, if Parker is there at two, Utah at five might be a in-play team to make a trade and move up. So that's why we have it shaking out that way. And then on our big board, after the top three in order as you have it, we have Dante Exum and we have Noah Vonleh rounding out our top five.
And you and I've got Vonleh at number four on my board. We both love him and the potential that he brings from Indiana. Last thing before I let you go, and if you want to check out what Joe does, you can do so at probasketballdraft.com. Great stuff on each and every player, ranking them, strengths, weaknesses, rumors, all that good stuff. So go visit Joe Kotosh at probasketballdraft.com. Is there any chance, Joe, that the Cavaliers, and David Griffin has said, we're going to leave no stone unturned, that they trade the number one overall pick as they try and maybe bring in a veteran all-star caliber player? We're hearing all about Kevin Love this offseason and how they'd love to team him up with Kyrie Irving, and maybe that would help bring LeBron James back. Could they use this number one overall pick in a major trade?
You know, I think it's certainly possible. And, you know, right after the lottery, there was a lot of talk. Cleveland was going to be very aggressive and active, you know, looking to trade the pick. But the more I hear that Embiid checks out medically, the more I hear the team's becoming intrigued with him. And, you know, I think there's the consideration with acquiring a player like Kevin Love that he could opt out next year, and to give up a player of Embiid's caliber for 1 year of Kevin Love without any assurances, that might be too much of a risk for a team like Cleveland as they're trying to, again, build a more sustainable winner, you know, and product in Cleveland.
Joe Kotosh, we appreciate the time and the insight. Again, probasketballdraft.com is where you can go on the web. And, Joe, what's the Twitter handle where people can follow you, especially as we get closer to the draft and on draft night?
At ProBballDraft.
Real simple, at ProBballDraft on Twitter or at ProBasketballDraft.com on the Internet. Joe, thanks for the insight. We'll talk again soon, bud.
Absolutely, Kenny. Anytime. Thank you.
All right, there you have it. Hope you enjoyed the Roto Report with Joe Kotosh from ProBasketballDraft.com, and it was brought to you by Laser Insurance and Financial Services. Call Joe Laser for all your insurance and financial needs at 330-722-4444 or check them out online at laserinsurance.com. And as always, C-Town, keep it real.